Innalhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, alhamdulillah, today we begin the first day of the Leadership Excellence Course, the LEC, in Kuwait. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you who have come, many of you from long distances, some of you from other countries. And we ask Allah to accept your coming and to make this course a means of guidance and a means of khair and a means of bringing about critical changes in our lives. As I said yesterday in the orientation, the purpose of learning is not learning. The purpose of learning is to practice. The purpose of ibadah is not ibadah in itself. This is one of the mistakes that we make, because most of us do not have the benefit of tarbiyah, which is what we should have taken the trouble to do, but we don't do it. So even those who pray, they think that the prayer is the maqsad. They think that to pray salah is maqsad. To pray salah is not maqsad. Salah is the means to reach the maqsad. And the maqsad is ta'alluq ma'allah. The purpose of salah is to connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. The purpose of fasting, what is it? Did Allah say fast to lose weight? Did He say fast because it feels nice? Did He say fast because it is good for your health? No. What did he say? Kutiba alaykum usiyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah said fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for people before you, so that you become muttaqeen. So the purpose of fasting is not fasting. The purpose of fasting is taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is to fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of offending Allah. As I've said many times before, and this is one of the many problems with translations, taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. Khashya is also translated as fear of Allah. But why did Allah use two different words? Taqwa is the fear of offending the one we love. Where did we get the love from? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The sign of the believer is what? That he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. So how do you bring the fear and the love together? Because fear is a negative emotion. Fear drives you away. Nobody loves snakes except people who understand the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then they also like snakes. But most people don't like snakes. Why? Because they fear snakes. Whatever you fear, some people have fear of dogs. Those people can't love dogs. People who love dogs don't fear dogs. So fear drives you away. Ask a child who goes to school and he fears a teacher. Maybe there's a teacher which beats the child. Does the child love the teacher? Never. So fear is a negative emotion, it drives you away, keeps distance. So how do you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So how do you put the two together? Which is by saying that taqwa is the fear of offending the one that you love more than anything else. So therefore, the more you love Allah, the more taqwa will increase. And that is the purpose of coming to a course like this, is to see how I can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to see how I can increase my taqwa and how I can be concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that's why I said to you yesterday that those of you who came here saying I want to get some knowledge, change your reason for coming here, change your niyyah. Don't do yourself a disservice by saying you came here to get knowledge. You don't have to come here to get knowledge. Read a book. Why do you need to come and sit in a hotel for 5 days and spend whatever money you are spending on the hotel, expenses for what? Read a book, cheaper. Go to Google, free. You don't need this for to gain knowledge. This is to gain, which is the maksad of knowledge. You want to gain knowledge for what? To connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is why this course begins with tahajjud. The course begins with tahajjud because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed this method to connect with Him. Specifically, Allah prescribed this method to connect with Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qumil layla illa qalila. Whole night, except for a little bit. Qumil layl. Stand in the whole night, except for a little bit. نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. What is to be done? Recite Quran in a beautiful way. Repeat your sabak. Repeat your sabak. What have you learnt? Show what you have learnt to the teacher. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Is that the maqsad? No. Is it the maqsad to stand and recite Quran? No. The maqsad is to do the work which will be given to you, which is a very heavy work. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. And what about the difficulty of getting up? And what about the difficulty of standing? And what about the difficulty of memorizing? And reciting. Inna nashiyata al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Yes, we know it is difficult. We know it is difficult. But that is the way. The best way to discipline yourself and to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. In the nashiyat al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who who do this. And He praised this ibadah. And He told us what He will give for that. Where He said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَّا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah mentioned these people. And may Allah make us all among those who He mentioned. And He said that they stand up in the night, they get up from their sides, they get up from their beds and they stand in the night, bayna al-khawfi wa tama'. What is Allah saying there? Allah is describing the condition of the believer when he is standing in salah. Bayna al-khawfi wa tama'. Between fear and hope. Between which fear? Fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And hope for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Bain al khawfi wa tama. This not only is description of the salah, it is also description of the constant state of the believer. Who is the believer? Who is the Muslim? The one whose life is bain al khawfi wa tama. The Muslim is the one whose whole life is bain al-khawfi wa tama'. In this course, you have got periods which are called periods of reflection. In your timetable, it would have been given reflection and breakfast and reflection or something like this, right? What is that reflection? That reflection is to think about this. Go sit quietly somewhere by yourself and make some notes. In the Living Islam book, we have given a section of notes of journal, of writing your journal. Make sure you fill that every day. That's for yourself. Make some more notes in addition to that. And what are the notes about? What is the reflection? Where are you? This is what I described is where we are supposed to be. But am I there? And if I am not there, then what is it that I need to do to get there? Is my whole life bain al khawfi wa tama'a, which has to start with the concern that I should be bain al khawfi wa tama'a. The concern that I should be between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's jalal and his anger and hope in his mercy. Is this concern even, does it exist? And if the concern exists, then what is the sign of this concern? When I am doing my business, is my business bain al khawfi wa tama'a? Am I worried about in my business? Is my business halal? Is my source of income halal? Is my funds inflow halal? Is where I am spending money, is that halal? And this is the boundary condition. Remember what I said yesterday about the fard, faraid. Halal and haram is the boundary condition. The one who is not even concerned about halal and haram, what do you say to that person? That is a boundary condition, no big deal. If you are concerned about halal, no big deal. No need to pat yourself on the back. That means you have said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul. That's it. But after that, what comes? So in business, after that, what? After the halal, what comes? How do I deal with my customer? How do I deal with my customer? All that you and I talk about in terms of customer service is the essence of Islam. You treat your customer with dignity, with respect. You smile at your customer. You give the customer more than what he expects to get. The aha effect, the wow effect. What is all this? I learned it in business school, I teach it in business school, but this is Islam. This is Islam. I should have learnt it in the masjid. I should have learnt it in the madrasa. That is a tragedy. Where did I learn customer service? In the Indian Institute of Management, Ahmedabad, where I went. Where should I have learnt it? In the masjid. That is what this course is about. This course is about bringing back what we lost. There's nothing new in this course. There's nothing new. Let me say that to you right now. It's all ours. This course is about reminding ourselves of what we forgot. We are those who not only forgot, but we even forgot that we forgot. Hum na sirf bhule, magar hum ye bhi bhul gaye ke bhul gaye. To remind. So reflect on this. Who are you? Who are you? Abhai, who are you? Think about this. If somebody tells you, that, you know, you were mentioned yesterday, we were in such a gathering and people were mentioning your name. You know, you feel good or no? Depends on who is mentioning, right? I mean, if it's a gathering of crooks and thugs, then you say, oh my God, why were they mentioning my name? But in any honorable gathering, if somebody says, I was in this honorable gathering and people were mentioning your name, you feel good, no? So how about the gathering beyond which there is no greater honorable gathering? And what is that gathering? That gathering is not the gathering of kings. It is not even the gathering of the Salihin. It is not even the gathering of the Anbiya. It is the gathering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and His Muqarrabin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. How many of us, when we were standing in tahajjud, and may Allah give a reward in keeping with His majesty and grace to our imam, how many of us were conscious that we are doing the zikr of Allah? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. And Allah is taking my name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu is mentioning me by name on His arsh. Real time. Real time. Then and there, as it is happening here. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Without delay. Real time. How many of us had that thought? How many of us were aware that this was happening? That is the meaning of khushu' in salah. That is the meaning of khushu' in salah. And this is what the mashayikhin used to do. This is the meaning of tarbiyah. Say, pray 2 rakat of salah. Then after you pray 2 rakat of salah, you say, now what happened to you? What happened to me? What supposed to happen to me? Say, pray 2 rakat of salah. What do you mean happened to me? Go pray two more. You pray 2 more. So what happened to you? I got tired. What else happened to me? Go pray 2 more. And 2 more, and 2 more, and 2 more, and 2 more. Until you come back and say that I had this ihsas, I had this feeling, I had this awareness, this realization that I am actually in conversation with Allah. That I am in conversation with Allah. That when I am saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, my Rabb is saying Hamdani Abdi. ये समझ के पढ़े तो आदमी एक आयत के आगे नहीं जा सकेगा. If you understand this and you say this, you will not be able to say the next ayah. The recitation of Quran is not about the tune. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give reward to the Qurra who recite well. Again, the issue of the maqsad. It is not about the tune. The Quran is not a song that you are singing and say, mashallah, beautiful nasheed. No. It is about what does it do to you. And if it doesn't do to you, say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, after Bismillah, say that until something happens to you. Say it 1,000,000 times. That is how you get khushu in salah. It's Allahu Akbar. After salah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah said, Hamdani Abdi. Hi, hi. Agar surah aapne. Did you hear? I am praising my Rabb. And my Rabb is not only hearing it and acknowledging it, but my Rabb is responding. What is the effect of that? So if I don't feel the effect, how can I say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? So I keep on saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, until I feel it. This is the meaning of mashq. This is the meaning of mashq. And the one who used to make you do that, those people were called mashaiq. Today we use the word sheikh purely in the grammatic sense of old man. That's it. I mean, that's what it's. Anyone who is called sheikh and he thinks he's anything more than an old man is a fool. Unless your own salah is at that level, what right do you have to call yourself a sheikh? Because we are stuck in the words. We're stuck in the words. So the maqsad of the ibadah is to connect with Allah. The purpose of the ibadah is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that is what I want to leave you with today. Is to reflect and focus and say, how can I connect with Allah? How can I connect with Allah? And just to end with to give you an example so you can so it gets illustrated in your mind and you understand what is the meaning of, if I get connected, how do I know? Ta'ala Allahul Amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any misal. When you go for a walk, for example, you know, people like to go for walks, so you go for a walk and usually you go for a walk supposing you are walking on the street which has big houses, big villas and mansions. And on those gates, you will have a big sign saying, beware of dog. The people have guard dogs, so beware of dog. So the sign is written in English, you understand English, it says beware of dog, so at that point in time, you know what the sign means, yes? So from the perspective of the knowledge, from the perspective of the ilm, you are an alim about this. So if I ask you what is the meaning of beware, you know what it means. You say what is a dog, you know what is a dog. So beware of dog, you understand that. But as you come close to that gate, as you are about to pass the gate, you find that the gate is a bit open and the dog that is mentioned on this sign is a huge big Rottweiler with a head like a bull and he's sitting there right in front, and as he sees you come past the gate, he stands up with respect for you and you find that he also doesn't have a chain. So at that point, has your knowledge increased? Is it two dogs instead of one? Is it a lion instead of a dog? Is it 10 dogs? What is it? Has the knowledge increased? But has something changed? What has changed? What is the sign of that? What is the sign at that point in time of something changing? If I am standing and watching you, how do I know? I can't see inside your heart. But what will I see? I will see you suddenly start reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Why? Because or you run, or you pull out a gun or something. Eh? So what is the sign that you have actually understood the meaning of beware of dog? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you saw the sign and I asked you, do you understand what it means? You said, yeah, I understand. But is there a difference in the quality of that understanding? Yes or no? There's a huge difference. There is a major, massive difference in the quality of that understanding. Beware of dog was words for you. But when you actually see the dog and you are standing in front of that dog and the dog is about to attack you, there is a difference in the quality of understanding. The knowledge is the same. The knowledge has not changed. The quality of the understanding has changed, and the sign of the change in quality of understanding is what? Is your action. Is your action. And that is what I want to leave you with. To remind myself and you to reflect on this question. Who are you? You are a Muslim. Do you understand what it means? Do you understand what it means to say that I am a Muslim? That's what I want you to reflect on and think about, inshallah. And when we meet, we will continue with our thoughts on this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your hearts and minds to His knowledge. Not only in terms of the words, but in terms of the actual understanding of that, and to enable us to bring about changes in our lives which will connect us to Him, Jalla Jalalu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahim.